Well, a good morning once again, Living Water Church. And, did we have such an awesome service on Easter last week? It was just great to see the different tables filled with different families. A couple families even had more than one table, and see all the kids go over and find Easter eggs and then have this great celebration in the service. We had 112 people in our service, and then another 9 that was on Facebook, and so we almost got to that goal of 125 that we were reaching for. And Facebook says at least 182 people clicked on it. I don't know how long they listened to it. They don't really tell you that information, but it's just cool how God can use that as you put it over the airwaves. And I just want to say a big thank you to our hospitality team, our ushers and greeters, and all those who counted people and welcomed people, and for Ken and his team for making a wonderful breakfast for us. It's just such a good service, and for everyone else who pitched in and helped out, we are truly blessed as a church family to have so many people who are willing to serve. Well, last Sunday we started a new sermon series about forgiveness, and this can be really a difficult topic for many people. For those who haven't yet given their life to Jesus, or for those who are newer to their faith, that it can also be difficult for those who have been a disciple for Jesus for many, many years. Because forgiveness requires that there is something that needs to be forgiven. And that usually means there is some pain involved, and some hurt, and often deep hurt, and probably a whole lot of disappointment. And this is true whether we're talking about forgiving someone else of something they did to us, or if we're talking about forgiving ourselves for something we've done. And because of this, the word forgiveness is often considered one of the worst words in the human English language. Well, last week we talked about the highest form of forgiveness, receiving forgiveness from God. And today we're going to look at the subject of how do I forgive myself? And this topic of forgiving myself kind of reminds me of a story that I heard about this guy a few years ago who was at LaGuardia Airport, and he was afraid he was going to miss his flight, and so he goes up to a complete stranger and asks that stranger what time it was. And so this stranger kind of made a big deal of setting down his two big, heavy black bags down on the ground. He looks at his watch, and he says that it's 6 p.m., in Singapore, it's 12 a.m. The temperature outside is 37 degrees, and the time is, the barometer is dropping. My stocks are up 2 points today. My blood sugar pressure level is staying at 80 milligrams. My blood pressure is rising, probably because I'm a little bit late for my next flight, and my mood is starting to fall as well. My watch is recommending that I go to Starbucks and get a chai tea latte before getting on the next flight. Well, the guy asking for the time was amazed. He said, "Your watch told you all those things." Well, the other guy says, "Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg about what this watch can do." Well, this guy was amazed. He says, "Well, I would love to have that watch. I'll pay you $1,000 right now for that watch." And the guy said, "No, you don't understand. I made this watch. I invented this watch. It's not for sale." And this guy really wanted the watch. So he says, "Tell you what, I'll give you $5,000 right now if you give this watch to me." He says, "No, you just don't understand. I made this as a gift for my son. He's graduated from college, and I'm going to see him right now, and I'm going to be giving him this watch." And this guy says, "I will give you $20,000 right now if you give me the watch." Well, $20,000. That was too much for him to just let that go by. So he says, "All right, I'll sell you the watch for $20,000. And so the guy, he fills out the check, gives him the watch, and he's getting ready to go. And the stranger says, wait a second. And he reaches down and grabs the two big, heavy black bags. And he hands them to the guy and says, "Don't forget the batteries." You see, this kind of happens to us from time to time, where we fall into a similar trap. We're thinking maybe we're making a good decision in our personal life, in a relationship, in our career. We think we're making a good decision. We just don't see the hidden catch. We don't see the hidden baggage. We don't see the hidden consequences of our choice. No one intentionally makes a decision that there's going to be a lot of emotional baggage attached to it. You know, where you're either going to have feelings of guilt or regret or shame or disappointment as a result of that decision. We don't make decisions knowing that. Unfortunately, we just don't see it coming until it's too late. And we end up with emotional baggage that so many people end up carrying around with them for the rest of their life. Usually, we pick up unwanted baggage when we step outside of God's will for our life. And we talked about this last week. In the Bible, it's called sin, when we step outside of God's will for us. Because remember, God's will is what God's best is for our life. And God says, this is my best for your life. I want you to follow my will. But we say, no, God, I really think I know what's best for my life. I know what I want, and so I'm going to go this way, even though your will is for me to be right here. I'm just going to go the other way, and that separates us from God. And the Bible calls it sin. And the Bible says that there's always consequences to the sin in our life. We can choose the action. We rarely can choose the consequence. And here's just some of the consequences of stepping outside of God's will. And I imagine most of us have experienced this, some of these: disappointment over missed opportunities, regret over past mistakes, lost dreams, guilt, shame, fear, self-loathing. I don't like myself very much. I made these decisions. And a lot of us carry around baggage such as this. And the only solution to it is forgiveness. Last week, we learned what forgiveness from God was like by looking at the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son left home, turned his back on his father, ended up wasting his entire inheritance, and then ended up coming back home broke. And the father forgave him anyway. God will forgive us no matter how far we've run from him. When he forgives, the past is never brought up again. It's completely forgiven. We get this in many places, but one is Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 16, where it says, none of their past sins will be brought up again. It's just how God forgives. But the problem we're talking about today isn't forgiveness from God. The problem we're talking about today is how we have a hard time then forgiving ourselves. How we tend to carry around this baggage from our past because we just can't seem to figure out how to let it go. Forgiveness is real when it comes from God, but it doesn't become real in my life until I learn how to forgive myself. So the question is, how do I forgive myself? One of the disciples who heard Jesus tell the parable of the prodigal son was Peter. And Peter was probably the most outspoken of the disciples. He was a fisherman by trade. He was very brash. He had a tendency to speak before thinking about the consequences of his words. And the Bible says that the day before Jesus died, that he had this last supper with his disciples. And at that meal, Peter promises Jesus that he's going to go with him to the very end, even if it means dying. And then Jesus turns to Peter. And he says, Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. Well, this greatly offended Peter. And he said, no, that'll never happen. I am going to go to you with you to the very end. You don't have to worry about me. I will die for you, Jesus. But that very same night, Jesus was arrested, taken into custody, and Peter followed from a distance. And when he got into the courtyard, he was trying to kind of keep to himself when a slave girl spoke to him and accused him of being one of Jesus' followers. But Peter said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then later, another slave girl came up to him and in front of people said, hey, I think that this is one of Jesus' disciples. He was with Jesus. And Peter says, I don't even know who this Jesus is. And later, some people came up to him because of his accent and said, you must be one of Jesus' followers. And Peter ends up cursing, using God's name, that he had no idea who Jesus is. And at that time, we have our next verse there in your message notes, where it says, as soon as he did that, suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. and he went away crying bitterly. During Jesus' most desperate time of need, Peter denied even knowing him. He turned his back on the Son of God, and immediately he felt regret and shame and guilt. And you see, Peter's future was in doubt at this point. It wasn't an issue of whether God would forgive Peter. God would forgive Peter, but the question became, would Peter be able to forgive himself and move forward? In our lives, our issue may not be that we've denied knowing the Son of God. It might be that we made a big mistake in a relationship, and now we're feeling the guilt. And maybe we've missed God's opportunity for a career, and we're just feeling regret from it. It may be that we've lived our life so far outside of God's will and what God's best for us that we're feeling the shame from those past choices. It's not an issue of whether you're forgiven by God. You are forgiven by God if you ask for it. The harder question becomes, will I forgive myself? And I have no doubt that there are some of you here who are carrying around some emotional baggage, possibly for a long time, because you've just been unable or unwilling to forgive yourself. So today is the day to take that step. Today we're going to look at three necessary requirements for forgiving myself. And the first one is the basic one, and that is we first need to commit to coming to God for forgiveness. Forgiving myself requires coming to God for forgiveness first. That's number one. And coming to God for forgiveness is the most important step that you can take with your whole life. No matter what you've done, no matter where you have been, how far you've run from God, it is never too late to come back to God, to receive forgiveness from Him. It is complete and it's unconditional forgiveness. All I have to do is to turn to God and ask Him. And God says He will forgive us every time. God's forgiveness, not only does it overcome that separation that exists between me and God because of my sin, but God's forgiveness enables me to forgive myself. And back to our story, Peter, he had really messed up. He denied knowing Jesus during Jesus' most critical moment. Peter, the rock, turned out to be Peter, the lukewarm bowl of mush. Before being able to forgive himself, he had to be able to receive forgiveness from God. And do you think that God forgave Peter? I mean, do you think that God still had a plan for his life? Well, definitely. Look at our next passage in Mark 16. This is on Easter morning. After Jesus had been buried, it's now the third day, and some of the women are going to prepare Jesus' body that morning. And when they get there, they look inside the grave, but they find it's empty. And there was this angel sitting there, and this is what the angel said. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Underline those two words, including Peter. The angel specifically told the women to tell Peter. Let Peter know that even though he messed up big time, Jesus is alive and he can be forgiven. He said, be sure to tell Peter. Here's the key. We need to know that God forgives us so that we can receive it, and then we can forgive ourselves in the same way. And there are five important characteristics you need to understand about God's forgiveness. The first one is that God forgives specifically. God forgives specifically. That's the first way God forgives. You know, it's easy to come to God with just general forgiveness. God, would you forgive all my sins? And we say that He does that. But if you are honest, most of the time, it's the specific sins in our life that give us the most problem with forgiving ourselves for. It's those few sins in our life that cause the guilt and the shame and the regret. And today, God wants to forgive you for the specific things in your life that is weighing you down. We need to learn to ask God for specific forgiveness, for stating what it is that we're asking God to forgive us of. We need to say, God, I'm carrying around this baggage from the specific sin in my life and the specific mistake that I made in my life. Please forgive me of this so that I can then forgive myself and then receive it. That's the first one. God forgives specifically, but God also forgives instantly. That's the second one. God forgives instantly. There's no begging with God. There's no waiting around. There's no moment where you have to ask for it and then wait and then maybe God will. No, it's instant. You just have to ask sincerely. It's the second one. Third one, God forgives completely. Specifically, instantly, and completely. With God, there are no leftovers. There's no residual unforgiveness. God doesn't come back and say, remember when you did this? God doesn't bring up those past sins and then throw them back into your face. When God forgives, it's done. It has to be forgiven again. You are forgiven. Next, God forgives repeatedly. With God, there are no limits. God will forgive you over and over again without end. There's never a time when you can't come to God. There is no sin too great. There's no sin that you may have committed too many times that God won't forgive it. God forgives repeatedly. And the fifth one is this. God forgives freely. There is no cost. There's no way to purchase it. There's no way you can earn it. There's no way you can put it on a credit card. You can't do enough good deeds to qualify for it. It is absolutely free. You just have to accept it. God's forgiveness, it's specific, instant, complete, there's no limits, and it's free. And only God can offer forgiveness like that. You can't find it anywhere else. It's the real thing. And you'll never be able to truly forgive yourself until you first experience the real thing from God, His forgiveness. Until you experience His forgiveness, you won't know what that real forgiveness is. And until you know it, you won't be able to offer it to yourself. Look at Paul describes God's forgiveness in Colossians chapter 2. Paul said, He has forgiven all of your sins. He has utterly wiped out the evidence of broken commandments which always hung over our heads and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. Underline that last phrase. Nailing it to the cross. Jesus settled this issue of forgiveness on the cross, but until you recognize that you're completely forgiven by God, you won't be able to offer that same forgiveness to yourself. So forgiving myself requires that I come to God for forgiveness. That's first. Second, forgiving myself requires changing my pattern. Peter made some significant changes in the patterns of his life after receiving God's forgiveness. Just 7 weeks after denying Jesus 3 times in that courtyard, Peter is teaching people about Jesus in this massive crowd in Jerusalem. And after Peter teaches about Jesus, over 3,000 people became believers. Later, because he kept teaching with another disciple named John, they were arrested and brought in front of the Jewish high council, and they were warned not to teach or speak about Jesus in public anymore or else. And we find this account in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They could see they were ordinary men who had no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Underline those three words, the boldness of Peter. This is the same guy who just 7 weeks before had cowardly denied even knowing Jesus to a slave girl. It's the same guy who was preaching in front of a multitude and speaking in front of the Jewish high council and is willing to speak for Jesus no matter the cost. It's a lot of change in a short amount of time in Peter's life. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, wait a second. For me to forgive myself, are you saying that I need to change as radically as Peter did? Because if that's what you're saying, I don't think I can do that. Well, don't worry. You don't have to, because remember, forgiveness is unconditional, but unless you begin to change some of the destructive patterns in your life, you know, that are the source of all this baggage, the source of the guilt and the shame in your life, you will never be able to forgive yourself completely. And so here's the question that I often hear people ask. Can I keep asking for forgiveness for the same sin over and over again? You said God forgives repeatedly. So can I keep asking God to forgive me the same sins I keep committing over and over and over again? Well, the answer to that question is yes and no. Number one, if you ask for forgiveness insincerely, and I think we've probably all done that a time or two before, where we came to God and we wanted His forgiveness, but we still knew we were going to do that sin again. You know, are you with me? We came to Him insincerely, and we weren't really sorry. We didn't want to give it up, but we wanted God's forgiveness, and so we were sort of playing a game with God. And God doesn't play games. He's not going to forgive you if you're not sincere about it. When you go to God for forgiveness, you have to come to Him sincerely, that you're sorry for what you did and sincere that you want to change and that you have this desire to change. But there are times when we are sincere and we truly regret the sin in our life and we want to change and we ask God for forgiveness and we receive it. And then we turn around and we find ourselves in that temptation. We find ourselves giving in to it again. And this happens a lot with addictions or with habits that are ingrained in us. It's the number one source of shame in our life. Because there's nothing more humiliating and discouraging than to want to not to do something, but to keep on doing it. So say, I'm not going to do this, but you keep doing it. And that's the power of sin in your life. Will God keep forgiving me for that? Well, the answer is yes. If you come to Him sincerely, God will forgive you over and over again as you work through the process of letting that addiction go, as you work through the process of breaking that long habit that has become ingrained in you, as long as you keep taking it to Him. But there is a challenge if it takes too long. If you just kind of let yourself stay in that situation of up and down, give in and confess and give in and confess, because eventually the forgiveness, you get a little numb to it. And you no longer feel like you're being forgiven. And then the sin itself begins to feel like it's not a sin anymore. And you start to justify it. Well, if I can't give this up, then it must not be wrong. So it must be okay. So you stop taking it to God. And you break that relationship with Him. And so it's very important that we learn to begin breaking these cycles, breaking these patterns in our life that lead to guilt and shame. And so, and here's the thing. The patterns we have in our life that cause baggage that we drag around with us, it doesn't just hurt us. It doesn't just hurt our ability to forgive ourselves and our future. It also hurts our loved ones and even future generations of our family. Studies show that the patterns you show in your life will affect your family for up to 4 generations into the future, such as an incredible capacity to affect others. For example, assuming that the next 4 generations of your family live to at least the age of 80, the patterns you set in your life will affect your children, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and even father all the way through the year 2300 and beyond. The pattern you set in your life have incredible consequences. And the Bible backs this up in Exodus. God tells the Israelites that if they'll obey Him and do what He says and establish good patterns in their life, that He will bless them for 1,000 generations. But if they set bad patterns, they disobey Him, that the 3rd and 4th generations would end up being separated from God. You set patterns for future generations by the patterns you have now, with your temper, the way you argue, with the addictions that you have in your life, how you handle conflict, whether or not you have a quiet time with God, and in the same way you've been affected by the patterns of your grandparents and your parents and your siblings. So I want us just to all just take a moment and examine our life. Just think about these patterns that we have. First, let's think about the destructive ones. You know, not only the ones that have the potential to hurt you, but habits that you don't want to see in your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. Think of the patterns that you really need to remove from your life. And maybe just take a moment and write that on your message notes. You're not going to give it to anybody, it's just for you. Maybe you can write a symbol or a first letter if you'd rather not write out the word, but just the negative patterns that you would like to see yourself remove from your life. And then take a moment and think about the positive patterns that you need to have in your life. Whether it's having that daily quiet time with God, or knowing how to argue with your spouse in a productive way. Any of those positive patterns that you would like to see established that's not maybe there right now. And just write that down, just a one word or maybe a first letter, a symbol, something that will remind you of what you were thinking about as you were going through this sermon together. With God, the past remains the past unless you keep repeating it. But here's the good news, God forgives you. When God enters your life, he gives you the power to see the destructive patterns in your life broken. And he gives you the power to remove those and replace them with positive patterns. Look at what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Underline that. He's giving you the desire and the power. Sometimes we think God gives us the desire, but he doesn't give us the power. He does. If we can plug into it, when God forgives you and begins to change your life, you can become capable of forgiving yourself and breaking these patterns. And if you find yourself stuck in this negative pattern of sin where you keep giving in and giving in, when you start to sense the temptation, what if you just took a moment and say, Jesus, would you help me? Because too many times we try to fight it on our own. We think, I can break this. I can stop this. I will not give in to this. And the next day you're going back to forgiveness because you gave in. What if you just took a moment and said, Jesus, would you give me the power? I don't think I can fight this on my own. You'd be amazed at what God does in your life that's different than what he's doing right now. If you'll take him into the middle of the temptation, into the middle of the destructive pattern, whatever it might be. So the first requirement necessary to forgive myself is to receive forgiveness from God. The second is to recognize and break free of destructive patterns in my life. The third step to forgiving myself requires creating a new future for myself. Now you might be thinking, well, isn't that kind of presumptuous to think that I can create a new future for myself? I mean, isn't that kind of what God does? Isn't that God's job to provide a new future for me? Well, yes, but you have a role to play in this, a very important role. God isn't just going to provide a new future for you. You have to cooperate with him in this process. And so look at what Peter, hot-headed Peter, who denied he even knew Jesus, at the most pivotal moment in Jesus' life, maybe the most pivotal moment in the history of the world, how would God see fit to use Peter after that huge mistake? Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 16. Before this even happened, Jesus tells Peter, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus said this knowing Peter's faults. He knew what Peter was going to deny him. He knew all about Peter. And he knew what Peter was going to do, and yet he still chose Peter because he knew Peter's potential despite the mistakes and despite the faults. And that's what God does with us. He sees our potential. He doesn't see our worst moment. That's kind of how we define ourselves, the worst mistake we possibly make. He sees our potential, and he calls us into it. And then Jesus was right about it. Peter went on to be the central figure in the creation of the first century church. God used him to be the founder of the only organization Jesus left behind, and the only organization that's going to last for eternity, the church. And God has plans for you too. God knows your potential. Nothing you can do will limit the plans that God has for you as long as you're willing to turn to God and ask for forgiveness. Receive that forgiveness and be willing to forgive yourself. You might say, well, you know what? You don't know how much I've messed up. I've ruined a lot of relationships. I've missed opportunities that God has sent my way. I've chosen to do things the world's ways instead of God's ways. You just don't understand. I have run so far from God. I've lived my life so far from where God was. There's just no way that God is going to be able to bring me back and use me. And that just is not true. That is an enemy of the law. That is a lie of our enemy. God has a purpose for you. And He has given you specific gifts for specific reasons. And God's plan is to use you to receive His forgiveness into your life and then to escape those destructive habits that you've developed and to make new ones, new healthy ones, and then to open up your eyes to the incredible future that He has for you. And here's the important truth that you need to know. God does forgive the past, but He doesn't erase it. He has a purpose for it. We're given a new start, but God allows the scars to remain from the past because He has a purpose for those scars. That leads us to our last step. Number four, God has a purpose for my past. We all come to Jesus with wounds and hurts and past mistakes. And God's intention is to heal our past wounds, all the hurts that we have in our life, but He doesn't erase the past. He allows the scars. He allows the weaknesses to remain. Why? So He can use us as wounded healers to go out and help those who are struggling with the same things that we had struggled with. That's how God is best glorified in our life. That's how people are best helped, when we allow God to use our weaknesses and our mistakes to help other people. Do you have any baggage from your past? We all do. Don't be ashamed of it. God wants to use it. Look what Paul, a famously scarred individual, writes in 2 Corinthians. He says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Are you wondering how God could possibly use you? Well, take a second and look at the baggage that's in your life, the things that you've held on to, the things that have hurt you the most. God wants to use those things. He doesn't just want to forgive you and then have you forgive yourself. He wants to use those things so that you can be this wounded healer and help other people who are struggling with that very same baggage. There are people outside of these walls who are having the same challenges that you are struggling with. I guarantee it. And God wants to use those past hurts that He has healed you of. It is your greatest, most powerful ministry that you'll have. And in the end, there are really two roads that you can take when dealing with forgiveness in your life. The first road is the one that Peter traveled. It's coming to God for forgiveness. But then with God's help, changing our patterns from destructive patterns to positive patterns, and then allowing ourselves to have an unlimited future that God has for us. And then commit to use our past experiences to help others who are going through the exact same thing. But unfortunately, the other road is the one that's most traveled. It's the road of carrying this baggage around with us the rest of our lives. Living unforgiven, not because God won't forgive us, but because you're unable or unwilling to forgive yourself. And maybe you just don't know how you possibly could forgive yourself. Maybe you struggle to understand how God could possibly forgive you. And you don't know how you're going to be able to move beyond the past and get rid of that baggage that you're carrying. You just don't see how God could use you in the future. And what you need to do is remember the names of people who are in God's Hall of Fame. God has a Hall of Fame with people who have done some really great things in God's name. And every one of those people in that Hall of Fame has some big mistakes in their life. Jacob was a liar and a cheater. Yet God changed his name to Israel, and he became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses was a murderer, and he had an anger problem, yet God used him to bring the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet God made him a man after his own heart and the greatest king in Israel's history. Jonah ran away from God and his plan for him, and God brought him back and used him to change an entire city. Paul persecuted and murdered Christians, yet God used him to become the greatest evangelist and church planter in the history of the world. Peter denied knowing Jesus, but God used him to become the central figure in the founding of the church. This is God's Hall of Fame, and every one of them had their faults and big baggage, and you could be the next person on that list. All you have to do is receive God's forgiveness, forgive yourself, and then open yourself to God's potential in your life. You know, as you leave here today, I have a challenge for you. As you leave, if you noticed when you came in the front doors, I have a wall of forgiveness there in the back. And there's some markers there on that little round table. And, you know, would you write your initials on that wall as you leave? And when you write your initials on that wall, what you're saying is, God, today I accept your forgiveness for my past. But you're also saying, God, today I'm going to forgive myself. And I'm laying down that baggage that I've been dragging around with me. All this baggage of guilt and shame and disappointment and regret and from my past, it's not going to leave here today with me. It's going to stay here. I'm receiving your forgiveness, and I commit to forgive myself. And I'm going to symbolize that by writing my initials on that wall. And if you want to be in God's Hall of Fame, you just need to allow him to forgive you and then forgive yourself. Look at our last verse. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So stop condemning yourself. God doesn't condemn you. So stop condemning yourself. If you have received God's forgiveness, you are forgiven. Stop living in that bondage. When you walk out of here today, write your name on that wall and open yourself up to God's unlimited future. As I encourage the praise band to come up, and we're going to pray. And then after we pray, and we'll also have Jeff and Cheryl are going to come up, and they're going to be here on either side where they can offer anointing if you feel like you need some anointing. Sometimes the struggle can be difficult. This idea of forgiving myself, of letting the baggage go, of just finally being released from it. If you feel like you need to be anointed for that, then you have that opportunity after we pray. But let's pray. God, you know our hearts. You know all about our lives. You know everything about us and every step that we've ever taken. You know all of our past mistakes. You know all of the emotional baggage, all of the unforgiveness that we're struggling with. You know all of the guilt and the shame and the disappointment and the fear and all the regret that we carry around and all that we feel in this room today. God, we ask that you forgive us of the specific sins in our life that are weighing us down. God, we ask that you forgive us instantly and completely and freely. We just claim those things. Help us to break free of the destructive patterns and to create some healthier patterns to put in those place. Help us to experience the future of hope and the potential that you have for us. Truly, Father, we ask you to help us to forgive ourselves and to lay down the baggage that we've been carrying around. And if you need to forgive yourself, just as we continue praying, if it's time for you to lay some baggage down, it's been in your forefront of your mind this whole sermon, would you pray these words silently to yourself as I say them out loud? And just say, God, thank you for forgiving me.
I realize that I've been carrying around the baggage of past sins that you've already forgiven. I want to trust you with my past as well as with my future. Today, with your help, I forgive myself. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.